The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So, let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
Good afternoon, good morning. It's Mark Tobin on Between the Synapse. I guess it's a hazard of having a show at noon, Central Time, where I'm at. I'm talking to people of all time zones. So, good morning, good afternoon. I think that about covers it. Unless you're really far away. Anyway, I hope you are having a good day. I know I am because I've got a very exciting guest and program lined up. If you like movies and if you like learning about what you are going to be seeing very soon, you've come to the right place because we have Glenn Whipp, who is an LA Times columnist, reporter, movie critic. He covers LA Times for a number of things, but primarily their award seasons. And so he's going to be updating us on a fall movie preview and what you should be looking for, what you want to go see, and what might be in contention once it comes award seasons. In the spring. Before we get to Glenn, I don't mean to complain, but well, first of all, anytime anybody says that, you know they're going to complain. So let's be honest. I'm going to complain. The first thing on my list is this exhibition NBA game. Between like the Knicks and I don't even know who else coming up this week, they're experimenting with a 44-minute basketball game. For those of you who aren't sure, a normal NBA basketball game consists of four 12-minute quarters. Four times 12 is 48 minutes. So they're experimenting with four 11-minute quarters. The reason being, if you shave off a minute off of every quarter of every game, if a player were to play all 82 games of an NBA season, that player would then be playing seven less games. The issue really has to do with the well-being and tolerance of a lot of the superstars who play a lot more minutes than other players. So say if superstars playing 35, 40 minutes a game, shaving those 4 minutes off a game is going to provide that player with the opportunity to perhaps have less wear and tear and be in better shape and condition towards the playoffs when things really count. I call this the anti-San Antonio Spurs rule. First, as a San Antonio Spurs fan, you get a little paranoid about what the NBA does because they're always seeking to promote superstars for mediocre teams over great teams. And in this case, maybe it's something that would be called the LeBron rule if it ever goes into effect. For those that recall LeBron – unable to finish game one of the NBA Finals because of the cramps that he suffered towards the end of that game. Of course, lack of air conditioning had something to do with it, but yet he had played perhaps the most minutes of anyone, and so therefore ended up suffering those cramps. So the NBA wants to make sure that people like LeBron can finish games. The San Antonio Spurs, on the other hand, are experts at managing the time that their key players play, so that they are reasonably fresh towards the end of the season. And most important, they have depth. They have a lot of people on their bench that can provide good, solid minutes so that the quote, superstars can get significant rest during each game. Not a lot of teams do that. However, that's their problem. And you know, to shave the time of the game off, it's got to be, you know, I don't know, one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. So we'll see how this this exhibition game goes, and I don't know where it goes from there. Honestly, if they're concerned about the well-being of the players, then they should just cut out about 10 games of the season and make a 72 or 70 game season, because you know, it's the playoffs is what they want to get to anyway, and this would allow them to get there and keep players, all players, much more fresh. What else do I want to complain about? This one's kind of silly, but Houston is just consumed with construction right now on its streets. Everywhere you turn, you try to go on a side street, there's construction. You just can't get away from it. One of the things that I just don't understand is, if you're trying to get into a left turn lane and there's a car ahead of you who is going straight and there's space between that car and the car in front of it, and you give a little polite honk at first, hey, you know, can you move up, please, so I can get into the left turn lane and make the light. The car doesn't move at all. So you honk a little bit louder, longer, still nothing. Finally, you know, now you get a little bit irritated, and maybe you lay on the horn a little bit, and now the car in front of you, you know, gets mad. Like, you know, what are you trying to do to me? All I wanted it to do was move up about a foot so that I can get into the left turn lane. You know, I don't know if it's just a lack of awareness or obstinance, but you know, folks, if there's a left turn lane, just be a little considerate. Let the people get in. Just move up if there's space. That's all I'm asking for. I'm sure I have more things on my list, but maybe we'll get to those later, because on hold is Glenn Whipp, who is the aforementioned Los Angeles Times columnist. And I want to go ahead and bring him on so we can get to our special edition fall movie preview. Glenn, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So you've been doing this for a while.
Yes. A few years. Yeah, definitely. I guess career, the Oscars just keep getting bigger and bigger. I guess award season keeps getting longer and longer. It's worse than basketball season.
So you want to shave a few games or some minutes?
Well, it's kind of funny, because it's a little bit the reverse problem, in that all the contending movies get sandwiched into the last 3-4 months of the year instead of kind of being spread out throughout the year. So you go 9 months, 8 months without seeing that many good movies, at least, you know, I mean, there are some fun movies, but you know, not Oscar movies. And then right. They all just are sandwiched into the end of the year. So I don't know.
And that's gotten more and more, right? I mean, it didn't always used to be like that. And it seems like it kind of started, and now it's, you know, just standard operating procedure.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird too, because you have a movie, say like Grand Budapest Hotel, the Wes Anderson movie that came out in March, and you know, Wes Anderson, very well-loved director, and this was his biggest commercial movie, made quite a bit of money, because it was the only sort of adult movie to see at that time, and it was for, you know, several weeks, so did quite well, but now nobody kind of remembers it because it's already, you know, it came out in March. It's already been out on DVD for quite some time. And so the studio Fox Searchlight's just going to have to kind of remind people that, yeah, this was a movie you loved and it's worth voting for, but it's hard to compete against all these other movies that are in theaters now and have sort of the conversation and the buzz and the advertising and everything else, the events that are going on in Los Angeles and New York.
Right. And do you, you know, I don't know, you know, as a person who's covering this so closely, I mean, it, for you, it probably professionally doesn't really matter because it gives you more to write about. But personally, I mean, did you appreciate when they expanded from 5 to 10, the best movie category?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's still, at the end of the day, it's only not all of those. You know, since they expanded it, it's only gone up to 9. And I think the way the math kind of works with the preferential ballot, where voters, Academy members rank their movies from 1 to 10. I think the way the math works, and please don't ask me to explain it because
right.
It would just make your head explode and your listeners' heads the same. But, you know, it's only been 9 movies each year nominated instead of 10. So the field has been 9. You know, it makes the field look more interesting. You know, they did it sort of in response to the Christopher Nolan movie, I'm totally blanking on the,
Batman.
The Dark Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
That not being nominated. And so they expanded it to sort of include all kinds, you know, the thinking was it would include more genres, more types of movies. And it has. You know, those movies, you know, never are considered like having decent shots of actually winning the Best Picture Oscar,
right.
but they do wind up being nominated. It gives you more to write about, definitely.
Right, and I guess it takes, by doing that, the winning movie receives less votes than it would have in the past, right? Because all you need is a simple.
Well, again, yeah, the math is kind of crazy because the way, again, the Best Picture ballot is done is that, say there are 9 movies nominated, they take all the first place votes that a movie receives, and then they look at the stacks, and then the stack with the least number of votes, so the number 9 movie.
Gotcha.
All those votes get taken out, and then they get reassigned to the number 2 movie listed on that ballot. So,
all right.
And it's a very complicated thing, but
25.
Then it ends up between 2 movies, and which movie has the biggest stack. So it kind of matters in the final analysis where Academy members rank the movies on their ballot. It's kind of a big deal, but that's the only category they do that with.
Right. No, it sounds like how they do the top 25 in college football.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, doesn't always produce the best results. But, you know, look, I guess for the movies, just being, you know, nominated and have more movies that can claim the title of nominated for best movies helps with marketing.
Definitely. Yeah. And you know, that's why why all these movies come out this time of year, because with the buzz that they receive with the Oscars and all these other award shows, the Golden Globes being the next biggest one, it's free advertising. You know, it keeps the movies sort of in the public's mind. So, that's why you have them all out, you know, kind of fighting, jockeying for a position right now.
And we're going to take a break in just a minute, and we get to the movies that are going to be jockeying for these positions. But if you had one award show that you could say, you know what, just enough, get rid of this one, it's silly. Which one would that be?
Well, they're all silly, aren't they?
Well, okay, yeah, it's all relative.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are some that, you know, like, you know, I guess the People's Choice Awards are still on, right?
Early January.
I don't know. I mean, there are some that you don't kind of pay attention to, but I mean, every year they're adding more and more shows. This year, in November, there's the Hollywood Film Awards are starting to be broadcast on CBS. And this was an award show that was just started by one guy, Carlos de Abreu, this sort of shady character who wanted to start his own award show. And he did this several years ago and kind of invited people to come. And it's kind of like the Golden Globes. You know, no one really knows or respects who votes on these things. Mm-hmm. But they're awards. And the stars come out for them. It's kind of crazy.
Does he have his family members voting? Like, okay, you're 4 years old now. You're old enough to vote, son.
It was basically just this one guy starting the thing, and he'd call around, and if you said you'd show up, then he'd give you the award. And it's kind of like grown since then, but it's a really weird thing, and the shows themselves can be kind of funny. Like 2 years ago, Judd Apatow, they gave him I can't remember the name of the award. It was like the Genius Award, the Comedy Genius Award, and he showed and he gave this just like scathing acceptance speech, just like riffing on the night, like who is Carlos de Abreu? Who is this shadowy guy, and what are we doing here? Seth Rogen presented the award to him, and they were just like totally having so much fun at this guy's expense, like, because they were just sort of recognizing it for the kind of sham it was and is. And I don't think since then Carlos invites any comedians back to his show.
Well, we've got to take a break, but during this break, I'm going to start my own award show. Yeah. I'll let you know what the name of it is soon. But we've got to take a break. When we get back, we'll talk about the fall movies to watch. Stick around on Between the Synapse.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ah, a nice glass of wine is very refreshing after the end of a long day. But have you ever considered the story behind the wine? Tune in to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio with your hosts, Roger and Donna Beery. You'll meet some of the people behind the world's wineries, travel the wine country, and learn more about that glass that you're enjoying. Roger and Donna will also give would-be vintners a behind-the-scenes look at starting a winery. Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio airs live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety. What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Between the Synapses Fall Movie Preview. We're talking to Glenn Whipp, who's a columnist with the Los Angeles Times. Glenn's been writing about movies for the past 20 years. In addition to the LA Times, he's written for the Associated Press, Variety, the Los Angeles Daily News. You can find Glenn at Twitter at Glenn Whipp. So I saw your piece, I guess it was yesterday. Neil Patrick Harris is the 2015 host of the Academy Awards.
Yeah, it felt like inevitable, didn't it? He'd done the Tonys, the Emmys. I'm sure he'll do the Grammys someday and kind of complete the whole thing. But yeah,
is there a name for that, or you need to come up with one for somebody that does like the Grand Slam in tennis, or
right,
you know,
right,
in golf.
Yeah, but I'm sure he'll be a very entertaining host. I mean, you know, it's just the question of the Oscars themselves as a show. It's a pretty rigid format. You've got to present 24 awards, and a number of them have absolutely little interest to the general public, who not particularly interested in who wins best sound editing or animated short film or whatever. So I mean, you know, there's 24 awards that have to be handed out, so there's only so many spots for a host to kind of liven things up in the evening. But I'm sure he'll have a good time.
Oh yeah, no, he's very solid. All right, so let's talk about the movies. Before we get to the ones that have come out early in the year that might be in contention, like a Budapest Hotel, what should people be looking for? You know, that's they're going to be coming out October, November, and of course, you know, the last 3 weeks of the year when it seems that they just dump everything that might be in contention.
Yeah, the last few years, like if you remember last year for the Oscars, the two big movies were Gravity. Well, there were three, but the two main ones were Gravity and 12 Years a Slave, which ended up winning. And both of those movies, you know, came out in the early fall. And that's been kind of the case lately. You have movies that come out a little bit earlier than, say, the Christmas rush, because it just gives them time to build a little bit more momentum. And, I mean, the big thing is to get Academy members to see your movie. So these Christmas movies, they'll have screenings, they'll have their Academy screenings, you know, in early December, but then the town kind of shuts down and, you know, takes a couple of weeks off for Christmas. Everybody will go home with their DVD screeners and watch and you know, watch or not watch the movies. But yeah, you know, all those Christmas movies, and there are more this year than there have been, and there's some pretty big ones coming out right at the end of the year. There's this movie about Louis Zamperini, an Olympic runner, called Unbroken, which is based on a pretty well-known nonfiction book written by the same woman who wrote Seabiscuit.
Okay.
And this is, you know, it's directed by Angelina Jolie. It's like a sort of an epic, inspirational story about this Olympic runner who is taken prisoner by Japanese forces during World War II. So it's a real hero's journey. I mean, it looks great on paper. It looks like the kind of movie that Academy voters just love to honor. But nobody's seen it. It's coming out on Christmas, and it hasn't been screened yet. So, you know, that's up in the air. We mentioned Christopher Nolan earlier. He's got a movie coming out in early November called Interstellar. I'm just giving you the ones now that people are like really looking forward to, but nobody's seen them yet. And this Interstellar is like this, you know, sci-fi space thing about a wormhole that nobody really knows. I mean, I start to explain it here, but nobody really even knows what it's about.
Yeah, no, I've seen the previews.
Yeah, it's like you see the trailer for it, and they're keeping it very vague. They're keeping it, you know, they want, which is cool. They, you know, they want people to kind of be surprised and you know, not knowing going in what they're going to see. But
my take was, it seems like a combination of the movie The Farmer, where the farmer builds a rocket to space or something, and last year's Gravity.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, everybody, you know, Nolan's movies, you know, we were talking about him earlier. He did get in, you know, Dark Knight was the movie that produced sort of the expanded Best Picture category. And then his next movie, Inception, was nominated for Best Picture. He has a lot of love here in Hollywood for making these big epic movies, but they haven't really been sort of warm movies, you know. And this one supposedly is the one where it has all the dazzling effects and sort of the Steven Spielberg-like heart to it. So,
right. And a couple pretty good Oscar-winning actors already.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway, Matthew McConaughey, Jessica Chastain. But again, this is a movie, nobody has seen this movie. Somebody has, but very, very few people have seen this movie. It should start screening. It will start screening next week, and then we'll get sort of a more of an idea. But on paper, it looks pretty awesome. And another Christmas movie coming out from Clint Eastwood, who's been known to have success with Oscar voters. This one's called American Sniper. It's about a Navy SEAL who's like the most 150 confirmed kills. So he's the most successful sniper in military history. It stars Bradley Cooper. True story. Clint Eastwood directs, and people are kind of curious about that. Eastwood, you know, hasn't been really on his game lately, but he's certainly capable of delivering movies like, say, Million Dollar Baby that come kind of late to the Oscar awards season and just kind of take everybody, you know, just take the town by storm. So
has the perception of Clint Eastwood changed since his appearance at the Republican convention and the whole vacant chair speech?
Well, I don't know if the perception's changed so much as that his last few movies haven't been either commercially or artistically hits, you know.
So you can talk to an empty chair as long as you keep selling movies, right?
You can, and you know, but it was just, you know, these movies, Trouble with the Curve, Jersey Boys, the musical that came out earlier this year, J. Edgar, Hereafter, Invictus. I mean, he hasn't had a hit movie or even one that critics have liked for quite some time. And this is coming after a pretty good run from, say, Mystic River to Million Dollar Baby, and then those two World War II movies, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. So he just needs a good movie again.
Now, speaking of sports movies, by the way, what's this Fox Catcher that seems to be garnering some attention?
Yeah, Fox Catcher is, this will be out, yeah, I'm not sure. It's a story of an Olympic wrestling champion, Mark Schultz, and his brother, Dave Schultz. So there's two brothers. This is, again, a true story. And they kind of come under the one brother, the younger brother, Mark, kind of comes under the, develops a relationship with this John DuPont, who's like this, you know, billionaire, schizophrenic, paranoid guy who wants to, like, fund sort of to bankroll the U.S. Olympic program, U.S. Olympic wrestling program. And it's about their relationship, and it's a really sort of Steve Carell plays DuPont, this really weird, removed, distant, billionaire, heir to the DuPont fortune, who is just this creepy guy. It's a really kind of weird, chilly movie. I don't think it's going to be much of a hit with audiences, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does quite well in terms of Oscar nominations, particularly for Steve Carell, because it's so different than anything he's ever done, and that really does well with Oscar voters. People like to see actors, taking on kind of different challenges.
Right.
It's not going to be a commercial hit at all, even with the presence of Channing Tatum and playing the younger brother and Steve Carell.
Wow, that's a great cast.
Yeah. I mean, another one that's coming out here, I don't know when it's expanding, but it's opening here in New York tomorrow, is Birdman, which is a really interesting movie starring Michael Keaton as a washed-up actor who once played an iconic superhero. So sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very, like, meta movie. Keaton's playing a guy, this actor, who his signature role was Birdman. Not Batman, but Birdman. And he's trying to reinvent himself by staging a play on Broadway that he's directing and starring in and producing. But in the back of his mind, there's this voice, this Birdman, Batman sounding voice saying, "You're washed up. You need to go back to the Birdman franchise." And it's shot, mostly in this Broadway theater, and it's filmed as if it's almost like one continuous take. The camera just keeps moving, and you can't really see any cuts or edits. And
Is Christian Bale in it? Is Christian Bale in it?
No, Edward Norton is in it. Okay. Emma Stone. And Michael Keaton again stars, and Keaton's really good in it, and he's almost assured of an Oscar nomination for Best Actor for it.
Yeah, well, speaking of those categories, who else, what other people are we looking at that will be considered for Best Actor, Best Actresses this year?
Well, I mean, so you have Michael Keaton, and then there's a couple of other movies that'll be coming out soon. They've played at festivals, Toronto Film Festival, Telluride Film Festival in the early fall. There's The Imitation Game that stars Benedict Cumberbatch from Sherlock, and he's playing this English mathematician, Alan Turing, who cracked the Enigma code during World War II, the German code. He was part of the team that was on it. It was the code that the Germans used for all their military operations, and the British had, a team on it to try to crack the code, and so it's his story. It's also a personal story for him. Very interesting movie, and I think Benedict Cumberbatch will be nominated for that. There's a movie about another genius, Stephen Hawking, called The Theory of Everything. Eddie Redmayne, who probably most people know from his role, sort of the heartthrob role in Les Miserables, he stars as Stephen Hawking, and it's about...
Oh, that's him. Okay. I didn't know who that guy was.
Yeah, no, it's about Hawking's life and his ALS and overcoming that and everything. So very much a movie that kind of plays, these sort of biopic movies are always strong contenders.
It seems like there's a lot of movies, or at least ones you've been mentioning, that are, you know, based on, inspired by kind of stories.
Yeah, a lot of lot of period pieces, a lot of historical dramas this fall. So
is that and I know you cover TV as well. Do you think that's partially in response to a lot of the successful, you know, TV dramas that we've been seeing as of late?
You know, I don't know. I mean, some of these projects were so long in developing that it's hard. You know, movies take so long to kind of, especially these types of passion projects, they take so long often to get from the page to the screen that it's hard to read them as a response to anything. You know, movies don't. They're, you know, it's like turning a battleship. They're not really able to respond to sort of trends or things going on. But yeah, there are a lot of them. I mean, there's a movie based on civil rights marches called Selma that's coming out on Christmas Day. So that's another one. And then, you know, there's Gone Girl, which is in theaters right now, which is not in any way a historical drama, although it's funny, the number of people who have asked me if it was based on a true story or not. I guess they weren't familiar with the novel. But yeah, that one's the movie that it's been the number one movie in America for the past 2 weeks, and it's kind of the movie that everybody's talking about right now. Have you seen Gone Girl?
No, I haven't, and I know that that's top of my wife's list. We just haven't had a chance. What are your, without giving anything away, what are your thoughts about it as a potential contender?
Well, you know, it's a difficult movie to talk about without you know you need to respect everybody who, like yourself, who hasn't seen it. But yeah, it's kind of a murder mystery marital drama. The actress Rosamund Pike, who plays the title character, the wife that goes missing, and Ben Affleck, the husband, may well have killed. We'll see. That's what the movie sort of starts to explore.
What about this? I haven't seen this either. But the judge, is that something that will garner attention?
Probably not. You know, it's a family drama, sort of a really well made sort of, or you know, it's kind of a, like, you remember back in the 90s, you had all those John Grisham books that were turned into movies.
Sure.
This kind of fits into that sort of vibe. It's a very well made commercial movie, but and it's possible that Robert Duvall, who plays the title character, he's the father of the Robert Downey Jr. attorney. It's possible that Robert Duvall could get a supporting actor nomination because he's really well liked in
sure.
the industry.
Oh, well, I know that you've got to go in a couple minutes, but before you do, what about the movies that have come before? You know, we talked about the Budapest Hotel, Wes Anderson's movie.
Well, there's
what
one
else?
There's one that's huge, Boyhood.
I haven't seen that either.
That came out in July, and I think it's going to be one that will be receiving a lot of acclaim from critics groups at the end of the year and from the Academy in terms of nominations. This was the movie that Richard Linklater filmed over the course of 12 years, starting when this young actor, this boy, was 7 years old and going through the age of 18. And they came back every year for a week or two and shot more movie. And then it's sort of woven together as sort of a cumulative story of coming of age, of a young boy becoming a man. And Ethan Hawke's in it. Patricia Arquette play the parents, and it's It's a a young actor named Eller Coltrane plays the young man, and it's a remarkable movie that has it's a one of a kind movie. You know, there's been nothing else ever like it.
Sure.
And Academy members, the story of the movie is so great, you know, that it's just irresistible. And it turned out so well. So it's still a movie that, even though it came out in July, people are still talking about it. And it was a pretty big hit for something it's about 3 hours long, you know, and very much an independent film. But you know, it did quite well for what it was, and it's a remarkable movie. There's never been anything like it, and I think even with its sort of independent, low budget status, it could be like the little movie that could.
So could it be two Texas born directors fighting it out, Wes Anderson and Linklater?
Richard Lid, Linklater. Where is he from? Is he?
He's from Austin.
Austin.
Wes Anderson's from Houston.
Yeah, you know, I love Wes Anderson, and he's never been nominated for Best Director, and I don't think that's going to happen again this year. I think it's for one reason, Wes doesn't particularly like doing the whole, and it's a big part of winning awards. You know, occasionally some people like Sean Penn can avoid it, but the glad handing, the going to the parties, the going to screenings and doing Q&As after the screenings, and sort of just putting your face out there, reminding people that you made a really good movie this year. Wes Anderson isn't the kind of guy who likes to do that. He's kind of more on the shy side. Very much wants the work to speak for itself, and he could be nominated probably again. He has been nominated for screenplays, and he probably will again. But I don't think he'll be nominated for director. But I think Richard Linklater is, and you know, he's made a lot of great movies, mm-hmm. and kind of under the radar. But now there's this sort of push to finally recognize him as a really first-rate filmmaker.
Sure. Well, you know, we could do this all day. There's so much to talk about, but I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and giving the listeners an idea of what's going on and what to look for and where they should spend their movie dollar. So, Glenn Whip, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to find out more about Glenn Whip and his coverage of movies and the award season, you can find him at Twitter at Glenn Whip. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy this season.
Thank you. It's nice talking to you.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes on Between the Synapses.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Tired of lackluster results with your marketing? Craving more leads in your business? Tune into the Mojo Marketing Edge with the team behind Mojo Global Marketing, Ira Rosen and Corey Michael Sanchez. Winners of the Marketer of the Year, they will show you how to generate daily leads, build databases of raving fans, and close deals faster than ever before. See what's hot right now and how you can tap into it to generate an endless supply of customers and clients. The Mojo Marketing Edge can be heard every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Listen for Matters of Design with celebrity designer Dimitri Christian Skourakis as he explores the dynamics of interior decorating. Imagine your personal style and ideas being shaped by our guest experts as they highlight a mixture of home furnishings, lighting, textiles, and fashion from around the world. If you've ever had difficulty trying to plan how to do it yourself, why not collaborate with a designer and wind up with results like you've never dreamed of? Matters of Design, can be heard live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. Welcome back to Between the Synapse. Thanks for tuning in. I want to remind everyone that if you want to catch some of the previous broadcasts of Between the Synapse, check them out on podcasts. The easiest way to find them is to go to my blog by the same name, BetweenTheSynapse.com, and you can click on all the previous shows, including last week's selfie, where I asked myself a number of interview and break the ice questions in an effort to allow my listeners to learn a little bit more about the host of this show. You can also check out the three-part series on education, which has really been well-received by a number of people. We talked about issues with Ivy League education. We talked about training teachers to provide the best education possible with today's technology and understanding of students. And then we talked about how best to educate students with learning challenges. You can find all of those on my website and more. Once again, that's www.betweenthesynapse.com. Check it out. I think you'll find something that you like. Thanks again to Glenn Whip of the Los Angeles Times for spending some of his morning with Between the Synapse and sharing his thoughts on what he believes is going to be the contenders for the award season coming up in early 2015. Lately have not been able to get into the theater as much as we would like, but I still try to make an effort to see the movies that that are going to be on the list for Best Picture and some of the performances for Best Actor and Actress, and so I'll be trying to do that over the next couple of months. Glenn really highlighted some interesting films, and check them out and let me know your thoughts. You can reach me at Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. You can also shoot me an email if you want at mbt@betweenthesynapse.com as well. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts of some of the movies that we talked about on today's show. At the top of the show, I started my list of complaints. I didn't quite finish them. So, talked about this exhibition game involving the NBA trying to cut the time down to 44 minutes. Talked about issues with drivers that won't let me get into the damn left turn lane. The other thing that I find really annoying as of late is when I go to read an article online, I can't just read the article without interruption. In the middle of the article now, this will happen, 4 or 5 times in the middle of an article, you'll see a block. And in that block is a quote taken from that article that has been tweeted. And I guess it gives you the opportunity to tweet that particular quote from that article. Well, I just want to read the article. I don't want to have to read over it twice, and it kind of interrupts the flow. I don't have any problem with, the buttons if you want to, tweet the article or whatever, but, is it possible that I could just read an article without having to go through the ideas of what I might want a tweet as well? I know it's a minor annoyance, but it seems to be becoming more and more popular way of presenting material online. The other issue I have are videos. Videos are extremely popular means of conveying information now. And that's great. I typically will prefer to read a news article than watch the video because I can get through it quicker. But sometimes I do want to watch the video. And, I'm okay if they want to show me a commercial before they give me access to the material. Okay, that's fine. But you go to like CNN, and it has all the videos, lined up. And so you go through one and then say, oh, there's something interesting over here, and click on that. You've got to watch the same damn commercial again. And, CNN isn't one that gives you the opportunity to skip the commercial after a handful of seconds like you can on YouTube or some others. So if you wanted to watch, two or three or four, videos in order to get the news of the day, you've got to watch, basically the same commercial three or four times in order to get to that material. And so I end up just kind of canceling it because I'm just not in the mood to sit and through 30 seconds or sometimes even longer of commercials. So I don't know if you guys feel the same, but anyway, those are on my complaint list for the day. If you have something you want to share, give me a quick call. We've got a couple minutes left at 866-472-5788. And you can air your complaint as well. Those of you who are paying attention to the baseball playoffs, really pretty extraordinary performance by the Kansas City Royals. They have won, 1, 3, 4, that's 8 games in a row. They are the first team to do that since they introduced the divisional series. And, they haven't exactly won any of the games overwhelmingly. Every single game has been extra inning. I think they've had at least half of their games have gone extra. They've been down in a number of the games. I believe most of the games have they've won either by one or two runs. And that's really what makes it more impressive. If they were just a overly dominant team, that had hitters, up and down the lineup, and they were just pounding the crap out of the ball, and they were winning, by 4 or 5 runs each time, that would be impressive as well. But it would mean that they're just, had so much more talent and skills than the teams that they were playing. In this case, when you're winning close games and you're coming back from deficits, it's kind of a whole another story. Hard to explain, but it certainly is fun to watch, and I know that the fans of the Royals feel the same way. But to have all 8 of these games go their way, I guess you could say they're lucky, but on the other hand, they make their own luck as well. San Francisco, how San Francisco is still alive is beyond me. Not because they're not a good team, but they've only hit like four home runs or something this whole postseason. They haven't hit a home run in like the last five games in the postseason or six games. And they've been winning. And, you know, somebody wrote today, they've been winning weirdly. It just seems that they've been getting, you know, all the breaks. Once again, you know, they do that for themselves. But the way that they've won games has just been crazy. My guess is with Bumgarten on the mound tonight that they prevail and they go in to the series winning 4-1. And I think it's going to be a really, really interesting series between the two teams because they're not prototypical home run teams, though Kansas City is certainly unloaded in the postseason. They're teams that can play small ball. They're teams that that excel on defense. They both exhibit speed, Kansas City in particular. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting game because of how those two teams got there. I think it's going to be really hard to predict which of those teams will prevail. I think you'll have to look at the various pitching matchups. My guess is, I don't know, maybe San Francisco has the advantage on starting pitching, but I think Kansas City has the advantage in the bullpen. So we will see how that turns out. Well, that's all the time we have on this week's edition of Between the Synapse. I hope you enjoyed the fall film preview. I want to thank the Voice of America team and my producer, Winston Price. I want to thank Matt Monk-Wiedner. Download the podcast. Let me get that right. Podcast. I don't know what a podcast is. The podcast of this and future shows at BetweenTheSynapse.com under the BTS radio heading, as well as on Voice America. Check me out on Facebook at Between the Synapse and on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Thank you for listening and talk to you next week on Between the Synapse.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.